Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that speaks to us of the path of life. Your word that gives us courage to listen to what you have to say. And we pray that you will give us the will to follow it and the minds to understand it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A gentleman, air traffic controller, tells the following story. I was an air traffic controller stationed at Selfridge Air National Guard Base in Michigan. One morning, we picked up a Montana National Guard passenger aircraft. And instead of identifying the plane by its five-digit tail number, its pilot radioed, "Selfridge approach. This is Pigsty 1," as we were taught to refer to aircraft by whatever call sign the pilot used. The controller thereafter called the craft Pigsty 1. Just after touching down, the pilot contacted the tower. "Selfridge," he said, "our call sign is not Pigsty 1, it's Big Sky 1. And we have the governor of Montana on board." Now, let's admit that even with our five senses and the way that we can take in information, they don't always work the way we think they should, and it can be very confusing. Believe me, being hard of hearing, I've had difficulty figuring out sometimes what someone has said to me. And you all know this, for the times that we've been in worship and somebody shared a name during the prayer concerns, and I've asked three times what that name is, but I'm not picking up the difference. And sometimes I still get it wrong. That's why I appreciate it when people write down the names on the prayer cards. And life today, if it's not confusing enough, it's even more confusing when we realize that we live in a time of so-called alternate truths. What's right? What's wrong? Who do we look to that can help us in such a time? Well, Moses gives us an idea in our reading from Deuteronomy. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Another way we might say it today after the opening story is, choose life so that you may live in Big Sky and not Pigsty. Another way, perhaps, to think about it is as the Reverend Susan Sparks, pastor of the Madison Avenue Baptist Church in New York City, thinks of these words of Moses in a sermon that she shared on our passage. "Standing on the far side of the Jordan, waiting to cross over, Moses prepares to give his last sermon to his people. Think about the import of that moment. The Israelites had just emerged from the rule of a brutal dictator, wandered in the desert for 40 years, and were now standing on the shores of the Promised Land. It was a second chance, a new day for their people. And on this momentous occasion, Moses preaches a fiery message to his people, ending with one of the best big bring-it-home sermon lines of all time. Choose life so that your descendants may live." She goes on to say, "Actually, I think it was less of a sermon line than a toast. I envision Moses raising his glass and giving the great Jewish toast, L'chaim, which means to life. And given what was also at stake, I can also imagine Moses mumbled an aside saying, and don't mess it up. Choose life and don't mess it up. In 1964, that wonderful music, Fiddler on the Roof, started on Broadway. And in it, Tevye sings of the engagement of his daughter, Zeidel, to Lazar Wolf. To life, to life, Lachaim, Lachaim, Lachaim to life. Here's to the father I tried to be. Here's to my bride-to-be. Drink Lachaim to life. To life, to life, Lachaim, Lachaim, Lachaim to life. Life has a way of confusing us, blessing and bruising us. Drink Lachaim to life. God would like us to be joyful, even when our hearts lie panting on the floor. But how much more can we be joyful when there's really something to be joyful for? To life, Lachaim. However, if you remember the story, Lazar Wolf was an older man. And his daughter, Tevye's daughter, Zeidel, did not want to marry Lazar Wolf. She and the poor tailor, Mogul, had already expressed their love for each other and wished to get married. So after all of this big to life, Tevye has to find a way to break the engagement in a way that doesn't dishonor him or Lazar Wolf. In the confusion of life, we need to do the best that we can to choose life. It's not always easy, and it can be messy. And yes, we do mess it up. Of course, that thought has been expressed in the Christian church in our time with the question, what would Jesus do? How do you choose life? Well, what would Jesus do? So how do you choose life in the midst of this crazy and confusing world where we're not even sure when we're hearing the truth or the honest truth? We begin by considering the Hebrew people and how they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they worshipped an idol, the golden calf. Susan Sparks says, now we may not have a golden cow in our house. Well, maybe we do. Well, you do. But we all have things that we idolize or covet or prioritize over God's teachings. Things such as money, youth, big houses, flat screen TVs, iPads, or Spanish. Hey, you never know where people put their priorities. I'm just saying, we all have our golden calf things. We think those things that we think give us life and joy and sustenance. But Moses tells us that these things do not lead to life, but in fact lead us to destruction. In our crazy and confusing world, we have to have something that we can keep our focus on as our central focus. And Moses is telling us that's got to be God. Anything else will lead onto a bad path. When we worship something, we always want it more. Think about it. If we worship big houses, we'll always want a bigger house. If we worship big screen TVs, our TV will never be big enough. We always want it bigger. If we worship money, we can never have enough, and we'll be greedy. If it is success, we'll never be full of success. We'll never think we've arrived. We'll always want something higher, something better, even if we have to trample over others to get to it. What we worship has a profound impact on our lives. And Moses is saying, worship God. You might say, well, if we do that, Tom, then we will want more of God. And my response to that is, and the problem with that is, there's no problem with that. In the confusion of life, we need to keep our focus on God. And where we get in trouble is when we don't keep our focus on God. Sometimes we feel God has let us down. Sometimes we feel that God is not in our lives. I'm reminded of a story I've shared with you before. An older couple are traveling in a car, one of those old cars that has a bench seat in the front. Remember those? And the husband always did the driving. And one day, they're driving down the road, and the wife says, "You know, I miss the days when we were younger and we used to sit close together in the car when we were traveling." And the husband said, "Well, I'm where I always sat." When we feel that God is not close, it's not because God has moved away. It's because we have moved away. We have let the worship of other things confuse our lives and lead us away from God. We end up in pigsty and not big sky. So how can we keep that from happening? I think the answer is in prayer. Prayer keeps us focused on God. Because if we didn't believe in God or God's impact in our lives, we wouldn't pray to God. So just by the mere act of praying, we are making a faith statement saying, "God, I believe you are the power of my life." People often say, "I don't have time to pray," or "I keep forgetting to pray." And I would ask them, "Well, what are you worshiping that's taken away from your time of prayer with God? What's causing you to forget God? What idols do you have in your life that are making that happen?" It's easy to say that it's too hard to remember to spend time with God. We get so wrapped up in our days. I mean, we can't even see God to kind of have a visual reminder. "Oh yeah, I need to talk to that guy." Listen to what Moses says earlier in verse 11 of chapter 30. "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away." We need to identify what is blocking us from seeking God. And there's a simple three-step prayer for us to pray that will help strengthen that connection and our focus on God. And again, I'm in debt to Susan Sparks. First, give God thanks for life. Second, name the things that block you from God's life-giving power. Name the things that block you from God's life-giving power. And third, ask for help in giving those things up. Ask God for help in getting rid of those other idols so that you can focus on God. Now, we may not be able to do it all the time or the first couple of times. But if we remember, God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on chances. We can keep coming back and trying again. The important thing is that we keep making the effort. Just the effort is a recognition that God is a source of life for you, and that we want to be connected to that source, that you want to be connected with that source. We want to be in the big sky, not big stuff. So let's say, "Lakayim to life." And let's not mess it up. Amen.